Well, just a final exhortation today, guys. First of all, Fred, thank you very much for your hospitality. And please pass on to all the ladies, man. Their work has been just amazing. The word has been rich. Really have appreciated what everyone has said. And I know you guys have as well. What I want to just mention here in closing from 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, I think you guys know this by heart. We've learned this now today, right? It's memorized. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the work of the Lord, what I want to bring to us in closing is what the Lord's work was. And the Lord's work was to love people. And He was always abounding in that work. And that's what we are to be abounding in just loving people. Real men love. So turn to 1 John chapter 4. And just to give a little substance to that statement that the Lord's work was love, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he said these words, and I'll read while you're turning to 1 John. Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. The work of Jesus was to love the Father and then to demonstrate that love through his life and his words with everyone that he came in contact with, including you and I. And in the Old Testament, as Jeff reminded us today, David was a man after God's own heart. And I would suggest to you that in the New Testament, the Apostle John was a man after God's own heart. There was perhaps no one more close to Jesus in proximity and in heart than John. As you know, in the Last Supper, it was John who was leaning on the Lord's chest. Right? He was literally hearing the heartbeat of God. And it's John who brings out the love aspect of the Lord's ministry. John 3:16 and throughout all of his writings. And here he is. He's writing now in chapter 4 of 1 John. And for the second time in this short epistle, he's writing to Christians. He's an old man. They suggest that it's somewhere around AD 90. John has outlived all the other apostles. His own brother was martyred. Paul's in heaven. Maybe James, the Lord's half-brother, is still in ministry, but John has outlived them all. So he's this old, seasoned, last remnant surviving member of the original 12, right, who lived and worked and spent time with Jesus. And of the 12, of course, Peter, James, and John, he was brought in closer than, you know, most of the others. He had just had that proximity to the Lord, that he was just always seemed to be around the things of the Lord. Even in John 21, where the Lord is restoring Peter, and they're walking along, evidently, on the shore of the Galilee, and Peter turns, and he He's like, well, what about him? You know? Well, John just wanted to be near Jesus. He had a heart that was after the Lord. And here he is now as we're essentially closing out the era of the apostles, meaning no more scriptures will be written. And some of the last things that John writes to us are to love one another. And so he says in verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another. That little word, us, is a very powerful word, and it's very meaningful to the people who are reading this letter. Because, you see, there were some spiritual elites, so to speak, who had gone out from them and left the rest of the lowlifes there in this church, perhaps in Ephesus. And there had been a church split. And they were feeling confused, and there was some tension that comes with all that. And John writes to them, and he doesn't say, Beloved, you need to love one another. John said, I'm an old man, and I've been there with Jesus. And those guys that left you, they weren't there. Okay, I was there. I saw him. My hands handled him. And I've been with the Word of Life. And John says, inclusive, not exclusive, let us love one another. So there's just a humility there in his words to the brothers and sisters. Let us love one another. For love is of God. It's interesting that in his last days, as he's closing out the New Testament, that he doesn't say, Beloved, let us pray for revival. Or, you know, fill in the blanks. Let us do lots of social justice, buzzword in the church today. He doesn't say, Learn to use your spiritual gifts, brother. He doesn't say evangelize. He says, love one another. This is the primary thing that John wants in among ourselves, brothers, is to really make that a pursuit that we have. Jesus said in his prayer, Father, the hour has come. And you know in John's gospel, that word hour appears a number of times. I think the first time in the marriage of Cana, right? His mom said, turn the water to wine. And he said, what do I have to do? My hour has not yet come. And he wasn't talking about a time. He was talking about an event. He was talking about giving his life sacrificially for people, to save people. And so that was his purpose in life, was to love the Father. And the ultimate expression of that was to live to love sacrificially, to give my life for others, right? To give his life for others. And so let that always be a purpose in our times of gathering. So practically speaking, brothers, I just exhort you, when you go to church, Sunday mornings, whenever you attend, small group, whatever, let it be your heart, your mindset, your purpose is, how can I be a blessing to somebody? Rather than, gee, I wonder what they think of me. Or, you know, all the other selfish motives that are prompting us. It's esteeming others higher than ourselves, right? Let that mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, Paul said. So, John's powerful words, man. It's the hardest thing we do in Christianity. It's to really learn to love sacrificially, to have the other's best interest become my interest and my purpose and my desire. And John just says, let us, including himself in that, saying, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So loving others is really a birthmark kind of a thing. I think it's just an evidence of the Lord's grace in our lives and an evidence of the Spirit who's poured His love into our lives. He says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Verse 9, what I'm seeing here is that love took initiation. All right? Love initiated. There's a problem. There's people who need God's grace in their lives. And God, you know, and while we were enemies, by the way, it wasn't anything, we didn't wait for them to improve, or it was, you know, we do that in our fellowships, don't we? We have those faves that we go to, right? Because, man, we just kind of click, and I just want to go hang out, and I'm comfortable there. But there's others that we're not as comfortable with, and, you know, they're probably not comfortable with me either. My breath stinks, or some other ridiculous thing that we get hung up on. And the Lord says, it's interesting, the Lord would often go to the greatest need in the room, right? John 5, the guy by the pool, right, who had been there for how many years? 38 years, right? And I get the sense that it was a pretty crowded scene there in the temple. Do you think anybody else went over and hung out with that guy? I know the Lord had a greater purpose, right? He wanted to make a statement to everybody there. And he wasn't using or abusing the man. He just genuinely saw the greatest need. Mankind has the greatest need. In this, the love of God was manifested. And this is what John's calling us to. He's given us the source and an example to love one another. Brothers, he's taking us back now to what motivated, the love that motivated God. Ephesians 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And you know, the whole disobedient and desirous of the things in the world and deserving of death. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love wherewith He loved us. Right? So, love humbles themselves. That's one of the main things in our Christian walk, is to be humble and have the other person, it's others, right? Others. Every time I say that, I think of that guy that started the Salvation Army. Booth, wasn't that his name? Apparently he was a really great orator. And so when he was on the menu for speaking, then the auditorium would generally be a little bit more full because they wanted to hear him speak. And he famously one day, it was his time, he got up here and he stood at the podium and he said one word. He said, "Others." And he went and sat back down. Right? Very strong word. So that was the kind of love that we have available, that we have working in our hearts. So let's not quench the Spirit, brothers. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You with me on that? So I'm just taking the work of the Lord and I'm turning it a little bit and saying, what was the Lord's work? The Lord's work was a life of love. And we're being called to live a life like He lived. And John's calling us to that. John was there. He's the one who repeatedly says, this is the commandment. Where did he learn that? He learned that in John 13 when Jesus washed their feet. He said, I've given you an example. Do as I have done to you. They didn't understand it. Not at the time. He said that to Peter. You don't understand what's going on right now, right? I'm giving you a living example, Peter, of two things. One, what I'm going to do by my death and resurrection. I'm going to justify you. I'm going to cleanse your conscience and your soul, right? And two, the second thing is, I want you to be forgiving toward others. I want you to be an example of who I am. So always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's just what the Lord wants me to share among ourselves this morning, tonight, this afternoon, whatever time. The hour has come, whatever. All right? Love one another's, brothers. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. All right? So, verse 9, there's God intentionally came to earth, humbled Himself, and demonstrated the love of God to us. And then in verse 10, the ultimate, in that He paid the ultimate price and was the propitiation. I love that word, propitiation. John uses it twice. Some translations will call, they've softened it a bit. Says it's atonement, but to propitiate means that there is someone, God, who has been offended, and He is justifiably angry because there was a love relationship and He was thrown under the bus. And I say that, trying to say that reverently, right? He is justifiably angry. The wrath of God is displayed, right? And what Jesus did on the cross was to appease the wrath of God. He looked upon His Son. He was satisfied, right? So the famous words, "It is finished," tell us that the Father has satisfied His wrath on Jesus on our behalf. So the mediator, right, putting His hand on the two parties, right? I was speaking on campus the other day, and one of the fellows had gone through the International Labor Relations School at Cornell. And so he was really listening closely because they go through classes, right? We've got corporate and we've got labor. And they have contracts, and you learn how to mediate between. Trying to be objective, and that's really the Lord. He got between these two parties that their wills were so opposed to each other, right? And yet Jesus came and He took that for us, all that upon Himself, for the purpose then of bringing reconciliation, bringing us back together, and to be born again, to be born of God, so that we then can go out and love of one another. And then verse 11, and I'll close with this. It's very short, but John says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And the next little two-letter word I want to look at is the word "so." If God so loved us, how do you see that? In other words, is John being emphatic? Right? Referring back to manifesting of love, my goodness, God manifested Himself in human. Divine became man. We partook of flesh. He took part of the same. And then on top of that, innocent, proven innocent, perfectly, right? He's perfect man. And then He gave His life for us as a propitiation, took the sentence that we deserved. If God so loved us, is He being emphatic? Or is He being emblematic? You follow me? Is John expressing the passion or the pattern? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I think both. I think He's saying, brothers, I want you to have propitiating love. I want you to be loving sacrificially, which means intentionally putting yourself in the place of, I think it was Bruce who said it so well. Man, open up. Be transparent with one another. Takes, right? My wife was just telling me, she read an article about the lonely American man. Right? Is that true in the church? It ought not to be. Right? But it takes intentionality. Are we hiding something, or are we just afraid to let people see who we really are? Yes. Yeah. Because if you find out, if I can keep you out here and just use all the church language, and you just see this guy that looks like he's pretty well put together, see, you don't know I struggle with depression. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, but you got to get out there and you got to rub shoulders and really just put it on the line. Man, because we're in it together. Can you imagine Jesus walking through earth, right? But he doesn't have disciples. He's not going to let anybody get close to him. It's ridiculous, right? He put it, what was it, in John 18 when he was being tried. I love his transparency. He's before the high priest. He said, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I've said nothing. My life's an open book. So, living transparently, living sacrificially, intentionally, and I'm making this up as I go, actually, consistently, right? The hour has come. From the beginning, when he was 12 years old, in Luke chapter 2, he got lost, you know the story, in the temple. His mom and dad came back and found him. He said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? He knew why he was here. As a preteen, he knew, I'm here to express the love of God and to show people that God loves them, that he has a justifiable anger because of their sinfulness. They're accountable to him for that because they've made a choice. And yet, I'm here to save the day, one person at a time. And John really strongly exhorts this word to the brothers and to you and I. Because there must be something about it. Of all the things that he could have said, brothers, be sure you get your doctrine down right. Make sure you've got truth. And absolutely there's truth. That's the second part of John's epistle here. Truth and love. Right? Because they were being attacked. Antichrists had come. And many antichrists. And the spirit of antichrist was working. And there was causing confusion. So there's truth and there's love. And those two things working together, there's something about that. When we really understand what John is saying, what he learned from the Master there on the Last Supper in John 13, who said, this is the commandment I give you, brothers, John 13:34. I want you to love one another. This was inspired, but he was taught to him. And he who put his head on Jesus' chest, he saw it. You know, Jesus talked to John from the cross. John, I want you to take care of my mother. Mother, this is your son. That's what I want you to do. Really? You're actually being mindful of your mother when you're going through that? No, because I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. I've put my hand on you and I'm literally lifted up between heaven and earth. I am the mediator. So do we love sacrificially? It's not a feeling. We can't wait for the warm fuzzy. Right? It's not a feeling. Love is action. Love is purposefully wanting to be involved in other people's lives to somehow lift them up. So that's the word. This is a final exhortation from the great verse in 1558, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that would just be my word the Lord's word to ourselves this afternoon, to think of that also as the Lord's work was and is to love others. With that, and having talked about his great work of propitiating, it only seems right that then we take communion together. So, Aaron, are you going to... Yeah, why don't you come on up? And Keith? So, let's worship. And we're not going to hand it out. So you guys, just as you pray, you come on up and get your juice and cracker. Let's everybody hold it. Let's partake together, though. To do it as a body. All right? So, Lord, thank you for your example of washing feet. And Lord, what that means, what it means is that you've purged our conscience. You've washed away our sin. You've justified us and redeemed us and reconciled us. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move among us, as you have all day, and just lead us into that personal communion with you. Lord, where our hearts, we just know, when we know that we're in your presence, Lord, personally, sitting before you, there is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. God is love. Talk about truth. That is an absolute truthful statement. Lord, I think our concept of love and how that works in our lives, just speak to us, Lord. Make it known to us. And that's our side of this. Lord, now we look up and we prepare to take the cup and the cracker. Lord, we know that what we'll have in our hands is an emblematic of your life poured out, of love poured out. You put it all on the line. And Lord, we just adore you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.